Hello and welcome to Join the Docs, our weekly session on the examination couch, examining the little gems within the medical world. Today we are looking at the common but interesting phenomenon, hiccups. To repeat that, hiccups. You will learn exactly what hiccups are, the common causes and some of the more unusual causes. Not to mention different names in different cultures. Who knew the Klingons suffered? We will share when to ignore them, that's the hiccups, not the Klingons, and when, if they persist or become more troublesome, when and where to seek help and advice. We will contemplate a myriad of simple remedies from the obscure to the more practical, including some complex manoeuvres. I will share my family's somewhat dubious remedy, the treatment.
Thanks for being here to Join the Docs, our weekly podcast. I'm Professor Jonathan Sakia, a surgeon.
And I'm Dr. Nigel Guest, a family practitioner. And we're here to lead you through a cornucopia of clinical conundrums.
Medicine's fascinating. We want to share our thoughts and experience. On the menu today is something irritating but easily dealt with. Nigel, take it away.
Oh, thanks, Jonathan. Well, no musical clue today. And do you know why? We've had a little hiccup.
Oh, that's a terrible link, as I said, something irritating but easily dealt with. Take it away.
Yes, Jonathan, we're going to talk about hiccups today, a common issue. We've all had them, but what are they? Why do we get them? What's the best way to get rid of them? And when should we worry and seek advice? So, definition boy, fire away.
So, hiccups are what is known as synchronous diaphragmatic flutter. First of all, the diaphragm, as you know, Nigel, is a sheet of muscle that separates the chest from the abdomen, from the belly, and it's involved in breathing, as are the muscles in between the ribs. And basically what happens is there's an involuntary movement of the diaphragm and those muscles, followed 35 microseconds later by closure of the vocal cords, which causes the hic sound. Right?
Right.
Okay, good.
Now I'm fascinated. Please continue.
You look baffled, frankly.
Well, baffled and fascinated.
Okay. Well, there's a medical name for it, which not a lot of people know. It's singultus. And yeah. It comes from the Latin single, which means to catch one's breath while sobbing.
What?
Which, you know, that sort of... I do that a lot around you, actually. It's what's called an onomatopoeic word. It's easy
for you to say. That's right. Yeah.
It's an onomatopoeic word, which means it sounds like what it is. Hic, sudden breath, explosive up. It derives from the English word hiccup, which was later hic off, different spellings. Mm-hmm. First recorded in the 16th century, 1580, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, and it later became hicket, H-I-C-K-E-T. For the literary fiends out there, it was incorporated into the 2003 book and later a movie, How to Train Your Dragon. There was a character.
I love that film. And How to Train Your Dragon 2. I wept buckets at that segment. Honestly, other dragon training videos are available, obviously.
It's about your intellectual level, really, isn't it?
I think about 7. That's my age, not my IQ.
Or both. Mental age, certainly. So there was a character called Hiccup Horrendous Haddock III, which I thought was marvellous. And I had a look at one of my favourite websites in preparation for this, Mental Floss, which I adore, so kudos to them. There are some other languages, and some of my favourites are also onomatopoeic words. The Danes and the Norwegians have hikke, H-I-K-E, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. In Iceland, it's hiksti, and in Finland, which is a geographic neighbour but not etymologically, it's hikka. But our German friends, bless them, they have schluckauf. They even express physiology differently because it means to swallow up. They also have the noun hecker and the verb hicksen.
Well, that's more onomatopoeic, isn't it?
Hicksen, yeah, not schluckauf, though. But, you know, I did 1 year of German at school, and my German teacher always came and said, my name's Bond, Cyril Bond.
Was he licensed to teach?
Actually, no. He terrified the hell out of me, though. But did you know, Nigel, that hiccups were the most frequently searched health topic on Google in 2019. And I'm going to leave languages for now, but I might come back to it in a bit. Tell us about your experience of dealing with it. It's something that you've seen much more commonly than me.
Interestingly, it's something you don't see a lot of in general practice, even though it's a common thing. You certainly wouldn't see anybody with it acutely, i.e. having hiccups at the time. Usually it's people that have had it for, you know, recurrently keep having episodes and sort of want to know why that is. And mainly it's eating too much, eating too fast, too many carbonated drinks. Sometimes it's to do with indigestion disorders generally, you know, it might be dyspepsia, acid, and that's usually the cause. There's lots of other causes as well. And I think that what we basically want to do is to make sure there aren't any serious things. I have had patients that have been air swallowers, which they do, and that's aerophagia, as I'm sure you know. And I think we've had to treat her with charcoal biscuits. I'm sure you've come across those. They are.
For my dog, yes.
No, they're great. A bit of butter and some cheese on them. They're absolutely, absolutely, absolutely fine if you eat about 10 of those a day. But because you're a very black tongue. Yeah, those are the sort of things that happen. So
spicy foods, anything that causes heartburn, it's associated with.
Yeah, there's all sorts of conditions. I mean, people can get it when they're emotionally distressed. They can get it. There's some ear problems, ear, nose and throat problems, complex things like that. And, you know, there are metabolic issues, sorry.
Before you go on, I just wanted to point out that you mentioned heartburn. The old English word for hiccup,
yeah.
I'm sure you'll be intrigued, is elf sagoda, which means elf heartburn, because people thought that elves actually caused heartburn, but we now know it's spicy food. And
all right, is that what led to the eradication of the elves, which is why we don't see them anymore, and why hiccups aren't quite so common?
Anyway, I'm sorry, you were talking about emotional issues.
I was, yeah, and there's metabolic conditions. I mean, you can sometimes get it with diabetes, you can get it with certain drugs, there's a whole cornucopia of drugs that you can get it. And I think that the important thing is that the rule is generally, if you've had continuous hiccups or very frequent recurrent hiccups for a 48-hour period, then you should seek medical help.
Okay, so you mentioned ear problems, Nigel. I'm told things like hairs in your ear, foreign bodies in your ears.
Sorry, hairs in your ears?
Yeah, hairy ears.
Hairy ears can cause hiccups.
Yes,
even I've never come across that one.
Well, stick around.
Who told you that?
Stick around.
Dr. Google.
There you go. But tumours in the ear can,
yeah.
You know.
No, there are internal ear conditions, yeah.
And you also mentioned drugs. What drugs cause it? Because I've never seen that.
Well, steroids can cause it very occasionally. Benzodiazepines,
Valium.
Yeah, that's that sort of type of drug. Barbiturates, not that anybody's using a lot of barbiturates nowadays. Some antibiotics can cause that effect, but that's very, very rare. And occasionally, opioid, stronger painkillers.
I have seen that in patients post-operatively, having it.
Yeah, I'm sure that. But, you know, the vast majority of conditions are totally benign. I mean, you must have seen the surgical issues.
Yeah, the common reason why a surgeon would see a patient with hiccups would be because the gut is not working, either because it's in the post-surgical phase, or they've had a serious trauma, or they've got a disturbance of their fluid and electrolytes, the chemicals in the blood, and that's called ileus, where the gut just stops working, goes quiet, and air can't go on its normal journey, and so it comes up. And sometimes if there's an obstruction, basically the gut is a pipe from the mouth to the anus, and
You know, they say that about kissing, don't they? So they say kissing is sucking on a tube that's connected to your bottom. I just thought I'd throw that in.
Such a romantic Nigel.
Well, Valentine's Day is every year.
Well, you know something, when you say they say, I'd like to know who the they are, where you reference that from. I'm going to struggle to get that out of my head. But anyway, so there are other things that cause it in the surgical world. Anything that irritates the nerve that supplies the diaphragm, which comes out of the neck, three of the nerves that come out the neck join up and provide nerve supply to the diaphragm. So anything irritating that could be a tumor in the chest, for instance, or it could be trauma or blood in the chest, an abdominal tumor, something growing inside the belly, of course, a pregnant uterus pushing up on the diaphragm.
Yeah, common problem.
An enlarged liver from any cause, like cirrhosis of the liver or so-called fatty liver can do it. And there's one interesting case. I actually once saw a case of this. It's called a echinococcus or hydatid disease. You'll remember, Nigel, you get a cyst inside the liver full of these worms.
Yeah.
Pretty miserable stuff.
Horrible.
Common in Wales, as I recall.
Any other countries?
Yeah, it's or any other animals.
Oh, I thought I was going to throw, I thought you were going down the fish route.
No. Whales the country, not whales the mammals. And also there are some neurological causes. Sometimes people who've had a head injury, people with multiple sclerosis, brain tumors can cause it, stroke. And there's some interesting ones. You mentioned metabolic causes, things like diabetes and such like. But I once saw a patient who came in and was passing large amounts of mucus, snot, from the anus.
Right.
And that was because there was a tumor inside the lower part of the colon, the sigmoid colon, called a villous adenoma. And these, they're benign under the microscope. They don't spread, but they can still kill you because they leach out so much mucus.
Is that because they got wiggly fingers and big surface area,
of mucus producing cells? And that causes you to have a very low potassium. And this patient actually came in hiccuping like crazy and with a disturbed heart rhythm. And a very, very, I didn't make the diagnosis. I was called and referred the patient. An emergency room doctor saw that there was a lot of mucus coming out the anus and immediately knew what was going on.
That's a genius diagnosis.
Yeah, it's a great diagnosis.
That is a wonderful bit of medicine.
And of course, I got to resect, remove the tumour and put an end to...
So, clever diagnosis and just get a technician in to do that.
Thank you very much.
Get a boy in to do the job.
I'm glad to know the respect in which you hold my profession, but also low calcium, low sodium can also cause it. Oh, by the way, I came up with some other foreign names.
Oh, God, no.
Yes. Yeah. The Welsh call hiccups ig. Irish call it snag. In Swahili. It's kiko hotsi or kwikwi. I was delighted to check that out. And I also learned this, which it's got nothing to do with hiccups, hiccup causes, treatment of hiccups. Just loved the phrase. And I've got to look at it, Nigel, because I can't remember Miss Wahili offhand.
You know.
It's wewe ni kiboko mvivu lakini nakupenda hata hivyo, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it means basically you're a lazy hippopotamus, but I love you, which is going to stand me in very good stead on my travels. Anyway, Nigel, talk to us about hiccup cures.
Well, okay. It's very helpful that you've got all these stupid names, I must admit, and I will remember that phrase when I next go to Kenya or wherever that may be. Okay, so most hiccups are self-limiting, and we'll just go if you leave them, or irritating as they may be. But there are some, and when it's, you know, there are some drugs, well, one particular drug which helps it considerably if it's desperate, and that's chlorpromazine, which is effectively creating a sedative effect. Avoidance is obviously a key step. You want to avoid fizzy drinks. Drinking through a straw actually makes a big difference. If you don't, you're not getting as much air, are you? You're very much concentrating, you know, unless you go, you know, right at the bottom and go, as you do, which is very embarrassing when we go out for a drink, but there you go.
I actually don't like drinking through a straw.
Do you not, love? Why not?
No, I just, I don't know. It's just always, it seems juvenile to me in some respect. But then again, that's probably why you like it.
strangely why I have no problem. There's no greater pleasure than having a double straw drink, is there?
It's straws. Oh, well.
Trouble is your drink goes very quickly. That's
whatever
right.
Floats your boat.
Absolutely. Okay. Champagne and straws is fantastic. Very sophisticated.
Can't take you out in polite.
Absolutely. If you avoid spice, that's the thing in cooking, not the girls.
Not the girls.
And try and have smaller meals, and obviously avoid indigestion. You can take something prophylactically, like the classic PPIs, as they're called. The drugs
on the pump inhibitors.
Indeed. The ones,
anything that ends in azole.
Azole, absolutely. You want to be careful with that one. As indeed, anyway, I won't go down the azole route. That's another podcast. Yeah, indeed. That's another podcast. But so those are the avoidance issues. But I mean, and you know, there are various other things we can do.
What about the classic, the breathing into a paper bag? And I guess if anyone is can see on video, they would notice that Slim has clearly been overdoing it, and he's got a paper bag. To his mouth. Does that work, paper bags? Oh, and by the way, just before you answer that, I've got another name that I remember.
Oh, God, go on.
Klingon, the Klingon word.
Go on.
So the Klingon word, you know, the Klingon language is very guttural. It's like, ach, and ugh.
I think you're fine, they don't exist, but go on. I don't want to bow that bubble. Go on.
How dare you? Klingons are real, and they pose an immense threat to the universe. Anyway.
Not when they've got hiccups.
The The Klingon word. So it's a very guttural, aggressive language.
You just told me that.
Yeah, right. Well, it's very aggressive.
It bears repetition.
Their word for hiccup is actually rather disappointing. It's buh.
Buh. That's not guttural at all, is it? Anyway, in which episode of Star Trek did we ever see hiccups in a Klingon?
We never did because the guy was, I think, upside down drinking water or something. Because really? Spike, our producer, told us.
He told us
that the cure for hiccups is to stand upside down and drink water.
I think he misread that somewhere along the line.
he misread the instructions.
So, I mean, it's never featured in an episode of Star Wars. They've never been firing photon torpedoes and just going, fire that photon torpedo or something equally stupid. Yeah, that would have been a great episode, actually, wouldn't it, if we'd done that?
We could have had an episode of all the physiological issues that befall Klingons.
Absolutely. Anyway, so there were some great... Well, paperbacks, yeah. So paperback, I don't think, is actually a terrible cure. And I mean, the problem with this is, for those that are seeing this, is that it's a white paperback, and it's well known in medicine that the only cure that we ever use involving paperbacks are brown paperbacks. Yeah, white paperbacks just don't work. It's a well-known fact it has to be a brown paperback. Yeah, it's just and it's particularly
good. Your grasp of reality is tenuous.
I read it somewhere. And it's usually very good, actually, for hyperventilation. And hyperventilation, which has got nothing to do with this whatsoever, is a fascinating subject, isn't it? And you actually put it on so that you can rebreathe your own carbon dioxide because that's a driver for hyperventilation. Anyway, that's completely beside the point. The cures, supposed cures for hiccups, are quite interesting. So here's a few. So you can suck an ice cube, which supposedly works. Presumably that's just concentrating on something to distract you. A teaspoon of lemon juice. Yeah. Similar vein, you can bite a lemon. I don't know whether you bite right into the lemon and suck the lemon juice out of it. You just bite a lemon. It's probably something...
An unsuspecting lemon that just come up behind it and bite it.
Absolutely. You've got hiccups, you're wandering around the street, you're passing your greengrocer's, grab a lemon. That's what I say. Vinegar, which presumably is a similar principle.
Drink it.
Don't rub it on. That's for sure. I mean, it might. Granulated sugar, a teaspoonful of sugar. Don't do it.
It helps the medicine go down.
I know, absolutely. And what's the other one? Yeah, well, this is one of my favourites. It's you gently pull the tongue. Now, whether you pull your own tongue, somebody else's tongue. But presumably that just makes you... makes you breathe in a different way. So I can't say I've ever tried that, but given
all this cornucopia, as you said, of options, what would you recommend to people?
I've got some favourites. So the one that I think works all the time, it's similar to spikes, but not quite the same, is so just imagine this. You take a long, I was going to say sharp, but it's thin object, say a knitting needle, right?
Okay.
If you can find a knitting needle or something, a skewer would be good if you've got one in your kitchen drawer. And you put it across your mouth. This is not through your mouth. You just put it across your lips like that.
Not through your cheeks.
No, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? And, yes, excessive. So you do that and you get a glass of water. Yeah. And with that across your mouth, sort of basically between your teeth, you drink the water slowly and... lo and behold, your hiccups go. Works every time. That's a classic. And you can do variations along that. But there is, in my family, a thing called the treatment. And if anybody gets hiccups, everybody goes, you're going to have the treatment. In fact, funnily enough, I was at a meeting yesterday. In fact, I was at a meeting with you yesterday. And I was sat next to a lady whose name I was just about to give out, but we have rethought that one. And she said, oh, I've got hiccups. And I said to her, would you like the treatment? And she goes, yes. But unfortunately, we got distracted and she never got the opportunity to have the treatment. So the treatment is based on holding your breath. So bearing in mind, my sons are in their 30s.
Strapping lads.
And they are aware of the treatment. And I think it's been passed down through our family. It's essentially take said strapping 30-year-old, put your arm around the back of their head, put your hand over their face and mouth, your little hand round their body, and then you occlude their nose and mouth so that they can't breathe. And the trick is to stop them breathing long enough for them to wriggle. So when they're wriggling...
What?
Yeah, they like it, because clearly they're big boys. They could escape. So they wriggle for about 20 seconds. And before they come completely hypoxic, their hiccups have gone. And it's a fantastic solution. So when anybody gets hiccups in our family, they go... can you have the treatment? And then if their mother gets hiccups, they look at me and they go, go on, I dare you. And I have to say, to this date, Christine, who doesn't mind being named, has never had the treatment, and I suspect never will.
I'm sitting here absolutely stunned. I mean, the basis for the medical profession is primum non nocere. Firstly, do no harm. Based on the Hippocratic Oath, every part of my body is screaming, first of all, please, nobody do this at home. Nobody do this. It's a terrible idea. It's awful.
Yes, absolutely. Do not try that at home. Yes. It's only in the hands of a true professional with a surname called Guest.
So I think what I'm going to do is, number one, escort Nigel Guest to a psychiatrist, because I think I can also hear sirens, police sirens getting closer. And thankfully, given his obviously delusional state, that's all we've got time for today. Please always remember, new and persistent health changes or symptoms, if you're hiccuping and it's not going away, go see a doctor, seek medical advice, stay safe and well. And if you've enjoyed Join the Docs, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Tell your friends, visit our website at jointhedocs.com. You can go to all the social media at Join the Docs. And at the website, you can get all sorts of additional material. And there's going to be great merchandise featuring the work of our mad but extremely talented artist, Robin Gott.
And if you want to reach out to ask us a question or suggest a topic, please use our social media at Join the Docs. And if you want to reach out to tell us we're rubbish, please don't.
But until next time, please, everyone, stay healthy, stay happy, and probably stay away from Nigel Guest, because the alternatives to staying healthy and happy are not good, and we spend a long time dead. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
We are grateful for you listening to Join the Docs. This is the legal stuff now that we have to say. The views and opinions expressed on Join the Docs are those of Dr. Nigel Guest, myself, Jonathan Sakia, and other people on our show, but please be aware that Join the Docs is not intended to be medical advice. It's for information and entertainment only. Please always take any health concerns to your doctor or other healthcare provider. We respect the privacy of patients and never identify individuals unless they've consented. We may change details, dates, place names, and so on to protect privacy. Listening to Join the Docs, interacting on our social media, emailing or writing does not establish a doctor-patient relationship. Phew, well, I'm glad that's out the way. Please, everyone, be safe and well.